God's truth. It's living, it's active. The only infallible way of faith and practice. Uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we need to know what it says. We need to believe what it says. Scripture this morning comes out of 2 Corinthians 5:17, and there's a whole bunch of other places, and we'll go through them as we get into the text, but there's a lot of possibility passages in the Scripture. This one is one that's familiar, I'm sure, to all of you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that umbilical, that connection that we have between this world and the next, so that we can know, Lord, how you want us to live, so that we can know who you are, so that we know who we are. Oh God, help us to believe your truth. Help us to believe it, Lord, even though the world we live in would tell us not to. Help us to believe it, Lord, because we see it with our eyes. We know it's true. We experience it with our heart in our life. Oh God, help us to believe. May your Holy Spirit move upon us, Lord, as we sit before your feet and as we share and ponder this one little verse. What does it mean for us? What does it mean? How should we live? We lift ourselves before you, Lord. Minister your grace to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, a new year begins. We've been through it many times. With all of its freshness, possibilities, opportunities, something kind of nice about that. You know, all of 2024, it's gone. And what's ahead is, in a sense, brand new. At least that's kind of how it feels. And that's a good feeling. You know, I think that's why we like New Year's so much. I mean, we kind of celebrate that, you know, putting it behind us and, okay, what can we be doing out here in the tomorrow? Did you know that the thought behind New Year's resolutions is pretty much a determination or a hope not to repeat something we've done in the past, particularly the past year? That's the basis behind them. Not to eat so much, right? Not to smoke so much, not to cheat or lie, or, you know, to be happier, as if we weren't happy in the last year. You know, we're just going to be happier, maybe. Or to work harder. The essence of New Year's resolutions is to make the past, and not to repeat it in the future. All right? Someone once said that God created us with eyes in front of our head, so that when we tried to look back, one side or the other, we'd get a stiff neck. Maybe that's a good thought for the new year. Don't look back. Let's look forward. Where's God taking us? Where are we going? We're created to look forward. And the good news is at the beginning of a new year is that God, our God, is a God of the new. God doesn't look back. God doesn't hold our past before us. He doesn't keep bringing it back up. No, he doesn't. His purpose is to set us free from the old sinful ways into the hope of the future, the hope of the new. He puts the past in the past. Maybe I should say it again. He puts the past in the past. And what's ahead is indeed a wiser, fresher, newer beginning. Paul said it best in our lesson this morning to the Corinthians. He said, the old is passed away. The new has come. But it's a truth that's taught throughout the Bible. Listen to these words in Isaiah 43. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. My goodness, the Old Testament has something to speak to the new, right? It is one Bible. One Bible. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Behold, God says, I'm doing a new thing. Or in John 8, where Jesus says, if the Son of Man sets you free, you will be free indeed. Or Paul to the Galatians, for it is freedom that Christ has set us free. How do we realize the old passing away and the new coming? How do we experience that? How do we make it real in our life? How does such a glorious freedom become part of our daily routine of how we live and walk? And you know, many of us have seen a lot of New Year's. And too many times, the old simply crept back into the new. Isn't that true? It just keeps on popping its little ugly head up. Old attitudes, old habits, old fears. And you know, the new looked a lot like the same old, same old. We don't want to let that happen. We want to keep that away because that's not God's plan. It's never God's plan. How can this new year be a different year? How can we realize, truly realize, the old passing away and the new coming? Well, if you look at the passage, there's quite a lot in this one little line passage. Quite a lot. The first thing that God says in this passage, the first way that we can keep the old back there and bring the new forward is to realize in our heart and in our head that you and I, we are chosen. Chosen by God. We have been specifically identified and called by God to be His. To be His. Now think about that a moment. Specifically identified and called by God to be His. To be His. Paul writes to the Corinthians, if anyone is what? In Christ, he is a new creation. In Christ. It was a favorite of Paul's. Favorite phrase. It appears all in his letters. In Christ, we become children of God. In Christ, we live and move and have our being. In Christ, we are forgiven. In Christ, we find the joy and peace and happiness of life. It's our own personal invitation. We're not chosen as a church. You can have your name on the roll of the church. You can have your name on the roll of every church in town. It means nothing to God. We're not chosen as a people. We're not chosen as a group. God doesn't work in groups. We're not chosen as a family even. Oh yes, we talk about the people of God, and we talk about Israel, and particularly as the people of God, Israel, God's chosen people. But you're not saved because you're a member of a church. And not everyone who is a Jew will be saved, for sure. We're selected and invited to be God's chosen, individually and personally. It's a one-on-one thing. One-on-one. Your parents can't pull you through. Your husband can't pull you through. Your wife cannot pull you through. It's a one-on-one relationship. In God's kingdoms, there are no grandchildren. You've heard that said, probably. There are no stepchildren. There's no illegitimate children. Each of us is a child of God. Each of us. In Christ. I love the passage in Jeremiah 1:9. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I chose you. You are chosen. I am chosen. In Christ, we are chosen. That makes it special. That makes a new year possible. A good new year. Begin the new year realizing that truth. It's a foundational point. But we have to just keep that in our brain and in our mind and in our attitude and not let anything else creep in. Maybe. I am chosen. I am God's child. There's a great feeling in being chosen. There's a confidence that comes from being chosen. A confidence that God is indeed our Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father. That God desires my best. My best. That nothing on earth can tear me away from His plan or His best, His lifting me up. That's great news. That's great news. What a way to start a new year. What a way to start a whole new way of living and thinking. You are chosen. Paul says it right there in Christ. Secondly, we live in the freedom of a new year by realizing that our sins are forgiven. I know that sounds old, you know, but how come we keep talking about past sins? You know, if we believe that thing so much, then why do we keep dwelling on it? We do, don't we? We keep talking about the past. Well, you know, I'm not worthy of this, or I'm not smart as that, or I'm not able to do this, or I'm not able to do that. Nothing deadlier than the guilt from the past to destroy the future. The wrongs we've done, and we've all done a plenty. I mean, we can paper the walls with all of our sins, with all of those things. We, you know, wanted to get out there and be truly confessional about it. No point in that. But all those past sins are primarily the reason we feel unworthy, unable, our inability to walk close with God. You know, somehow we say, if He really knew me, He wouldn't want me. Well, let me clue you in. He really knows you. He knows everything about us. Everything about us. And still His arms are outstretched. And He wants us to come unto Him. Come unto me. He wants to love on us, empower us to be the people of God, the person of God that He's called us to be. You know, in Christ, you and I are forgiven. You know, God knows everything about our past, and He made provision for that. He made provision. He took care of it, right? We know that. God took care of my past. He took care of my past sin. He took care of my present sins. He took care of my future sins. That's what the cross is all about. In Christ, you are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean, whiter than snow, as Scripture says. And we are given a fresh, new beginning. Paul himself serves as a powerful example of that truth. He wrote, "For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And what was he? What was he? An ambassador for Jesus Christ like hardly any other. Even though Paul once persecuted the church by the grace of God, he was forgiven and he was given a new life. He was given another chance. And with his new life, Paul set forth proclaiming the message of God to Jews and Gentiles alike, to all the world, to anyone who would listen, because the old had passed away and the new had come. That's a possibility. What a difference forgiveness can make. But we must allow it to happen. And you can't keep shoveling it back up and shoveling it back up and shoveling it back up. I like the story that Corrie Ten Boom once told about God forgiving our sins. She said, God forgives our sins, every one of them. Every one of them. Not just some, every one. And then He puts them in the deepest lake. And He puts up a sign, and it says, no fishing. No fishing. That's pretty good. Many a person struggles with the past because they won't accept God's grace of forgiveness in the present. We live in the freedom of the new by first realizing we're chosen. Secondly, by realizing we are forgiven. And also we live in the freedom of the new when we realize that God has a future for us, a purpose, a purpose. We're not trapped. We're not trapped by what has happened in the past. Now, there are consequences to sin, no doubt. There are prices to pay in this earthly life that we live for some of our sins. Maybe for all of our sins, we just don't always know it. But we're not trapped. What has happened to us, good and bad, is a platform. It is a classroom through which we have a ministry going forward. The past gives us a foundation for the future. New perspectives, new lessons, greater wisdom. Excuse me. Many of us get stuck because we remember and relive the old. We just can't get away from the painful memories, and it pulls us down. We get stuck because we get paralyzed by fear. We get paralyzed by haunts. Maybe some of that will come back up. Things I can't change. Things I can't do anything about. We seem to think that our mistakes and the suffering that is ours in the world are some sort of indictment of our faith. Or our suffering is just a curse that we're going to have to bear and never shake. Remember what God says? What he said in Isaiah? Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I don't think it could be any more direct than that. Paul had a way of dealing with all the negative stuff in which we live. He says, we do not lose heart. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The past is our classroom for the future. It's where we learn to listen, to be humble, to obey. It's in those moments that God truly does speak. His voice talks directly to your heart and my heart. It's where we experience his power and his tender presence. And it's the only place we can look at with 20/20 vision and honestly find wisdom to go forward into tomorrow. Proverbs 24 says, by wisdom the house is built, and by understanding, it is established. We need that wisdom. We need that foundation. And God uses the past to prepare us for the future. We can't live in it. Couldn't if we wanted to, really, good or bad, because we live in the now. We live in the now. We can't live in the future either. We can't be out there just, you know, hoping and always hoping, always thinking, you know, in some sort of la-la land. We can't live there either because we're in the now. We got to live in the present. What has happened in our past has built us into who and what we are. We can grow through our past, but we can't live in it. God says we're now free. Free to use all those lessons of the past. Free to use all those lessons of 2024. Those building blocks, if you would, for his glory and his purposes and our blessing. A new year, a new beginning. And some of us are already, I dare say, already bringing some of the baggage of the old into the new. I could confess to some of that. It's a bad habit. That's what it is. We need to work on that. Maybe we like the familiarity with the old. You know, well, it's at least I know what it's going to do to me. I can deal with that. I don't know what the future's going to do. So we bring that old back in. I don't know. Maybe we feel like we don't have any choice. But God's truth is that we have every choice. Because He has selected us, identified us, chosen us to be His in Christ. You are chosen by God. You are in Christ. You are on God's team. You are forgiven by God. You are freed from the mistakes of the past. You are wiser today because of where you've been and what you've done, good and bad. You have experiences that now become part of your ministry, part of your reflection of Christ to the world. You have learned to trust God and to believe in His power. You've seen it, you've touched it, you've experienced it. You can pass it on. You've seen and experienced His grace, His love, His goodness. God has a future for every one of us. God has a future for our church. We need to really search that out. We really need to seek on our knees what God wants me to do. Me. Not that other person. Me. How would God have me serve Him in this coming year? How would God want me to, what would God want me to do in this coming year? You know, He might pluck you up and take you to a mission field. Be careful what you ask for. But the greater blessings are out there in Him. There are people that we just can't stand to be around. Maybe God wants to build on that relationship and bring His glory to it. Not only in just that, but in the broader glory that would be brought as others see the healing and the wholeness and the hope in their broken relationships. Resolve to let the old things die. God's going to stretch us in this new year. There's going to be lots of opportunities, lots of possibilities. One possibility we pray for is that we'll at least be closer, maybe have a new pastor. You know, let the old pass away. No, not literally. But just move on. How's that? You know, God has such a plan for this church, for every one of you. We have to learn to seek His plan. And we have to learn to involve ourselves in His plan. Like I said, resolve to let those old things die. And behold, let the new things come. Choose to live in the glorious freedom of God's new. And trust God for His purposes, for His plan, for your life, and for our life together. That verse in Isaiah 43, forget not the former things, do not dwell on the past. Well, it concludes, behold, I am doing a new thing. A new thing. Now, He says, it springs forth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we